How would you like to attend a conference and hear Larry Rast, Carl Fakencher, Brian Wolfmiller, Adrian Dorheinz, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Jonathan Fisk? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Are you a morning person? I don't know if I am or not. I mean, it's hard to wake up in the morning. I know I live in a house with three individuals, my wife and two children. They're not morning people. I know what non-morning people look like. And yet, we are called to wake up every day, a new day, and in a sense, a rehearsal, if you will, for a day when we will wake up not from mere sleep, but from the sleep of death, to live forever, never to rest again, that is, never to rest from being weary from our labors, but a constant living and active rest in eternal life, the resurrection. And the hymns of Easter follow these themes of morning and dawn and waking up to this bright new day that has already begun. And we're going to look at one of those hymns today on Issues Etc. Awake My Heart with Gladness, a great Easter hymn. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 13th of April. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Joining us to study the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, Dr. Carl Fakencher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thank you so much, Todd.
Before we get into the hymn itself, let's mine its primary biblical foundation. What is the primary biblical text at work in this hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness?
Well, actually, there are many, and we can look at quite a few of them. The image that begins the hymn is the mourning image, that is, the picture of women going to the tomb very, very early on the first day of the week, Sunday morning. They, as you yourself had described, probably being a little bit sleepy-eyed, although they had some business to attend to. Initial image, it goes into a magnificent opening up of the day, the tomb, and all of the biblical imagery that goes with that. The text, though, that is listed as the first text, both in our current hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, and also in an earlier hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal, is Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. I'll read that, and that comes in more specifically in a couple of stanzas, and perhaps we can come back to the initial image as well, though. Colossians 2, verse 15 says this, "When he," that is Christ, "had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." The image there is that Christ, in his resurrection from the grave, has destroyed the power of the enemies, that is, Satan and all of his henchmen, sin, death, the devil, himself, and as a result of his conquest, has now set us right with God and given us what we might call in this hymn a whole new day, a whole new outlook.
Okay. Tell us, if you can, a little bit about both the author and the composer of this hymn, if you have any information.
Yeah, you betcha. Paul Gerhardt is the man who wrote the words of this hymn. Paul Gerhardt was a German pastor in the 1600s, a very difficult time, really, for the church in Germany. This was the time of the 30 Years' War, which literally raged for 30 years from 1618 to 1648. And that was a devastating period for much of Europe. It was primarily a religious conflict, largely between Catholics and Protestants, and sometimes even squabbles among the Protestants. And it was an attempt to impose one religion on the other, primarily by force. As a result of the very, very serious carnage, many people in a number of countries, especially Germany, suffered tremendous losses in terms of their personal lives. And Pastor Gerhardt was certainly one of them, not specifically from battlefield, but from a result of plague and deprivation, starvation, shortages that came with the war. Pastor Gerhardt and his wife lost four of their five children to death. And then Paul's wife also, Anna Maria, died a number of years before he did as well. So he was a pastor who served faithfully and suffered some very serious setbacks in his own personal family life. He also was a very faithful confessor of Lutheran doctrine and was actually deposed from his office as pastor at one time for that. The king at that time, the ruler in his part of Germany, Friedrich Wilhelm, was eager to see that all those in his province would be in agreement on religious matters, when in fact there simply was not a full agreement between the various Protestants, in this case, Lutherans and Reformed Christians, those who would be more similar to Presbyterians, for example, in our country today. And Frederick Wilhelm ordered that no one could preach from the pulpit anything that apparently was contradicting the other. The problem with that in Pastor Gerhardt's mind was that would be a compromise of the things that we believe to be very, very important to the faith, such as, for example, that Christ is really present in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so when he refused to give in to that, when he said, I have to be free to preach whatever Scripture teaches me to preach, he was removed from office. And so in that respect also, he suffered a very, very serious disappointment in life. That makes Paul Gerhardt's hymns, and there were many of them, he wrote about 133 hymns, especially remarkable, because they really are, as in this particular case, the hymn we're talking about this evening, they are very uplifting hymns. They are very sensitive to the individual and how the gospel touches him, and always wonderfully triumphant with the gospel, as this hymn certainly is. So it's a magnificent opportunity, really, to see how the gospel touches lives in very powerful ways. The composer, by the way, Johann Kruger, was a friend of Gerhardt's, also German, lived the same time that that Gerhardt did. And this particular tune was written specifically to go with these words that Paul Gerhardt had written. So we've got here a hymn that has a magnificent heritage for Lutherans, one of the most prolific hymn writers and also a composer of music who has contributed greatly to our Lutheran hymnody and heritage.
Here is the first stanza of Awake My Heart with Gladness. Awake my heart with gladness, see what today is done. Now, after gloom and sadness, comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid where our bed must be made, when to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight. Your thoughts on this first of these stanzas, Dr. Ficantro?
Well, as I said, this is really a beautiful Easter hymn because it fits the occasion so magnificently. You alluded in your intro to the fact that many of us are not really morning people, but somehow on Easter morning, even if we go to a sunrise service that gets us out of bed just earlier than we ever would want to imagine, there's an excitement and a joy that comes with the day that the Lord has risen. And this is very much what Pastor Gerhard is expressing here. The picture again reminds us of the women who had seen Jesus killed, crucified on the cross on Friday, laid in a tomb. They'd noted the place where the tomb was, and they had prepared spices to anoint his body on Easter morning. They went to the tomb very early, fully expecting to see the body in the tomb, in fact, even expecting to see a stone in front of the tomb, and they wondered how they could possibly get in and do the loving work that they wished to do. But as the sun was rising, they arrive at the tomb, and they see that the stone has been rolled away, and an angel speaks to them and says that he is not here, he is risen. And the picture in our minds, as we see those women expecting so little and suddenly given such magnificent news, really is thrilling. Awake my heart with gladness from the depths of gloom to the joy of knowing that their Master, their Lord, their Savior had risen. Changed everything for those women. There's also that wonderful reference there, comes forth the glorious sun, which, of course, certainly pictures the sun 93 million miles away up in the sky rising that morning. But it is also an allusion to what the prophet Malachi said at the very end of the Old Testament when he spoke of the coming Messiah. He said, "But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." That was actually a prophecy of the Son of God that we spell S-O-N, but using the imagery of the sun in the sky, S-U-N, because Christ, the Son of God, does come with righteousness. He does come to forgive us, to heal us, and that changes each day for us as well.
All right, so let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get more thoughts from Dr. Carl Fikancher on this first stanza of Awake My Heart with Gladness, the Easter hymn that we're studying this Tuesday afternoon, April the 13th, here on Issues, Etc.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Issues, Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 42 minutes. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're studying the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of April. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. Dr. Fikencher, your final thoughts there on stanza one.
Yes, I just think it's a magnificent picture to see that sunrise who is Christ that changes life entirely for us and gives us a whole new perspective on each day and the eternal day.
In stanza two, and this is where we find ourselves rehearsing the events that lead up to the resurrection, the foe in triumph shouted when Christ lay in the tomb, but lo, he now is routed, his boast is turned to gloom, for Christ again is free in glorious victory. He who is strong to save has triumphed o'er the grave. Dr. Fikencher, what do you find that catches your theological eye in this stanza?
This stanza particularly focuses on the verse that I read from Colossians chapter 2 earlier, where we see that conflict between Satan and his henchmen and Christ. And this is really a very much Christ in your face to the devil. Death is Satan's most powerful weapon. If he can kill us, then he can be victorious over us, it certainly would appear. But he shot his best wad. He took his best shot at Jesus. He, along with the humans carrying it out, killed Jesus on the cross. And then Jesus rose anyway. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says that Jesus went to hell to announce his victory, to preach to the spirits in prison, to announce his victory over Satan, so that when Jesus appeared in hell, no longer suffering, but now body and soul reunited, now in his glory, in his exaltation, it showed Satan that he had nothing left in his gun. When his best bullet, death, had been fired, and Christ had taken the shot and risen nevertheless, it meant that death was undone and Satan was defeated. So it says, as St. Paul says in Colossians 2, he really has displayed publicly how defeated Satan is.
In stanza 3, a kind of a commentary on observing Christ's victory there, defeating death in death. This is a sight that gladdens, what peace it doth impart. Now nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart. No gloom shall ever shake, no foe shall ever take the hope which God's own Son in love for me has won. Dr. Fikencher, this one kind of, if you will, kind of stretches credulity just a little bit. I mean, it sounds kind of Pollyannish to say, nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart. How is this true, especially in a world where Christianity and the Christian life is often marked by real sadness?
Sure. Well, it certainly is true that in a fallen world we suffer. But the new man, the new woman, that is, the believer inside each one of us, knows that in Christ's victory, we also do have victory. And that gives us a magnificent peace. This stanza particularly reminds me of the gospel reading for the second Sunday of Easter, when the disciples are huddled in a locked room. They've heard that Jesus is alive, but they just don't know what to make of that. And so Jesus then suddenly appears among them, and three times he says, "Peace be with you." It's the peace of knowing that Christ is alive, that Christ is not angry with his disciples, even though they had abandoned him, that Christ, by rising from the grave, has reconciled them to the Father, so that now they're not at odds with God, they're reunited with God. And when man and God are reunited, that is, when the Almighty, all-loving God is with us, then we can be certain that even though the world is full of all kinds of sufferings, and we see around us all kinds of things that seem like disasters, God still is caring for us in the very best way. Being reconciled with God, that is, being at peace with God because of the death and resurrection of Christ, then gives us a wonderful, what we often call, peace of mind, to know that we need not fret, we need not fear, we need not be afraid of what's going to come next. God really is taking care of us in the very, very best way. That's all a result of the resurrection of Christ.
Stanza 4 is, my personal favorite, for the tone that it strikes. Now hell, its prince, the devil, of all their powers are shorn. Now I am safe from evil and sin. I laugh to scorn. Grim death with all its might cannot my soul affright. It is a powerless form, howe'er it rave and storm. Stanza 4 of Awake My Heart with Gladness, a hymn we're studying during this hour, this Tuesday afternoon, April the 13th, with Dr. Carl Fekencher. Dr. Fekencher, this phrase, laugh to scorn, there's another great Easter hymn that says, laugh to scorn the gloomy grave. This attitude that the Christian may now have against the power of sin, against death, and the grave, talk about that.
Well, that's a magnificent thing. As we said before, Satan, in seeking to undo everything that God has done, has tools available to him. Death is one of them, and the accusation of sin another. And it's certainly true. We are all sinners, and Satan would be able to stand before God and accuse us of sin so that we could not be with God. We'd have to be separated from God and lost to hell and the devil forever. But when Christ, by his death on the cross, took our sin upon himself and defeated it by rising again, now suddenly death and sin have lost their power altogether. This, for me, very much recalls those magnificent verses of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, "Then is brought about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We, by Christ's resurrection, have been made victors over sin and death, so that, yes, we really can laugh at them, however deadly they may appear. They really are not able to undo us. And to hold that victory over enemies that previously were so powerful is a magnificent, magnificent gift of the victory that Christ gives us in resurrection.
With only a minute, does this preclude proper Christian mourning at the death of a Christian loved one? A minute before our break.
Not at all, because of course we realize every time someone dies, it is a reminder of what our sin brought upon the world. Adam's sin, our sin, has caused all these things that are very thoroughly inconsistent with God's original design. God never intended for death. He never intended for us to be separated from him or from loved ones. And so even Jesus himself, of course, wept at the death of Lazarus. But just as Jesus then overcame death in the case of Lazarus, so also he has overcome death for us, so that that weeping is not the final word. As Paul says, we don't weep as those who have no hope, but we look forward to the resurrection that Christ's resurrection has won for us.
We're studying the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Three stanzas to go, and then we will hear the entire
hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, we're playing the hymn, a recording from a four-CD set of hymns called Heirs of the Reformation. You can find out more about these recordings of classic Christian hymns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can purchase Heirs of the Reformation by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. This four-CD set is called Heirs of the Reformation. When we come back, stanza 5 of Awake My Heart with Gladness. The world against me rages, its fury I disdain. Though bitter war it wages, its work is all in vain. My heart is free from care. No trouble troubles me. Misfortune now is play, and night is bright as day. One is almost kind of transported along with the great author of this hymn, Paul Gerhardt, a man of great sadness, who sounds positively giddy when he considers Christ, his death, his resurrection, and the power thereof. More on this hymn after this.
Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on Wednesday, April 14th and Thursday, April 15th, and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384.
His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 28 minutes. You are listening to Issues Etc.
A fitting museum for our namesake.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The birthplace of Susan B. Anthony, built in 1818 by her father in Adams, Massachusetts, recently opened as a museum. Carol Crossed, a leader of both Feminists for Life and Democrats for Life, purchased the historic home in 2006 and began restoring it. The museum opened on the 90th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, also known as the Susan B. Anthony Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. Sally Wynn, former vice president of Feminists for Life, is the executive director of the museum, which highlights Anthony's pro-life stance.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Stanza 5 of the hymn we're studying with Dr. Carl Fekencher on this Tuesday afternoon, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Hey, Paul Gerhardt, you talked at the very beginning of our conversation about trouble he dealt all through his ministry as a Lutheran pastor during his day, and then, of course, the great sadness that was kind of swept over the whole nation during that time. And he sounds positively giddy in stanza 5.
Well, I think that's a very accurate description. And it's interesting because, of course, as you said, Gerhard himself had such a very difficult life. One of the great things in Paul Gerhardt's hymnody is that he does a nice job of something that can be dangerously overdone. Paul Gerhardt's hymns often have a nice touch of subjectivity in them. Now, that means that the person who is singing the hymn is expressing things that he or she might actually be feeling personally. Very often, and for the most part, our hymnody is strongly objective, which means it focuses on things totally outside ourselves, pointing to Christ and all the things he has done. But it's also true that what Christ has done has magnificent personal impact on each one of us as Christians. The problem with subjective hymns is when the subjectivity describes situations that aren't really applicable to all worshipers, to all Christians. We'd look at this stanza and we'd say, my goodness, that doesn't sound like it describes me at all. And then we realize, well, it certainly doesn't seem to describe Gerhard either. But what Paul Gerhard is doing, and as he always does very well with his hymns, is describe what's going on inside the new man, inside the new woman, in the believer. In each person who is a believer in Christ, there's that new person and the old person. And the old person all the time is wondering why God is the way he is, why God deserts us, why God doesn't care for us. The new person inside us realizes that even when those very, very real, and you were right when you described this, those very real tragedies that touch us in life, that touched Paul Gerhard certainly, happen to us, that God himself is still caring for us in the very best way. And that's what's really going on here. Gerhard recognizes that bitter war, the world against us, rages. And that is certainly true. He knew it from the 30 Years' War in his own life. We see it in wars in our lives, and we see it in spiritual warfare all the time, where Satan and his forces are inflicting all kinds of very real hurt upon us. But it takes us to that great passage in Romans chapter 8, where Paul uses that battlefield imagery. When he talks in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death. All day long we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Satan and all of his forces are waging bitter war against us, St. Paul says we are nevertheless more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer because we are in Christ Jesus, who, Paul says in verse 34, was killed, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And that's the picture that Gerhard is giving us in this stanza, which to us might seem completely over the top, but describes things as they really are. When we strip away everything we see and feel, and realize that God is still caring for his people in a perfect way because he's been reconciled to us in the death of Christ.
Here is stanza 6. Now I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whate'er he passes through. He rends death's iron chain, he breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's grim thrall, I follow him through all.
He breaks through sin and pain.
Dr. Vakencha, with about 2 minutes, tell us what you find here in the sixth stanza.
Here is the basis for everything we've been saying. I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never. Whate'er he passes through. Whatever happens, now that Christ has passed from death to life, now that he has conquered death, now that he has undone Satan's worst weapon, now nothing can separate us from Christ. And again, that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Christ died on the cross, taking away the sin that separated us from God, the ultimate effect was reconciliation, bringing us back into this relationship with God. And since God himself is all-powerful, as Christ demonstrated by conquering even death, and God is all-wise so that he knows what is best for us, and God is loving, so he wants to give us the very best. When we are back together, reconciled to a God like that, to our God, then we can be certain that nothing ultimately can destroy us. Christ has rent death's iron chain. He's proven that. Death cannot hold us anymore. He breaks through sin and pain, the pain that he suffered excruciatingly on the cross, more than we will ever experience, not just the physical pain, but the torture of bearing the sins of the world. Hell's grim thrall, he suffered all the punishment of hell when he was on the cross and has come through all of that. Then we can be certain that he will lead us successfully through all of the same, lead us even through death, so that we can follow him through all, and that'll take us very nicely to the final seventh stanza.
Stanza 7 of Awake My Heart with Gladness. He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. Who there my cross has shared, finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died shall here be glorified.
He brings me to the
The seventh and final stanza of Awake My Heart with Gladness. Dr. Vakencha, with about a minute before our break, explain this final stanza to us.
Well, of course, this is the magnificent climax, because all the things that Christ leads us through ultimately lead us to the portal that leads to bliss untold. And of course, here now we're talking about heaven. When we've gone through all the things that are part of this life, there is that magnificent eternity awaiting us. This stanza, particularly to me, brings to mind that passage often used for confirmation verses, Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Who there my cross has shared, Jesus says, finds here a crown prepared in the hymn.
When we come back, we're going to hear the entire hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, and get Dr. Carl Fakencher's final thoughts on this great Easter hymn. Folks, I'd like to know why you listen to Issues Etc. Think about it and record your thoughts 24/7 on the Issues Etc. comment line. The number, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384. The Issues Etc. comment line. We want to know, why do you listen to Issues Etc.? When we come back, the entire hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, Dr. Carl Fakencher will wrap it all up for us. We have in this hymn something that is almost too good to be true. a man who, out of the midst of great sorrow and pain and personal adversity to his pure preaching of the gospel, writes words that seem too happy for such circumstances. But he is looking not to his circumstances, but those of another, the crucified and risen Savior. And therein, he finds something almost too good to be true. But it is true. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 14 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our conversation studying the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, with Dr. Carl Fekancher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're about to hear the entire hymn again. Dr. Fekancher, what should we be listening for as we listen to Awake My Heart with Gladness in its entirety?
Well, imagine the hymn writer who has suffered extreme pain and sorrow in his life, as we also do in our lives, realize that all that pain, that suffering, is a result of the work of Satan using our sin against us every day, but that Christ has confronted that enemy, Satan. He has defeated him. He has hung him out to dry, put him on public display for humiliation, triumphed over him. And therefore, as we are in Christ, in spite of all the things that we suffer in life, we are conquerors.
Here's the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness.
Thank you.
Dr. Fikencher, your final thoughts on this Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness?
I think this is a magnificent hymn that we appreciate all the more as we go through more and more of life's experiences, and that certainly includes the difficult life experiences. My own particular referent on that is with my father, who is a wonderful retired layperson who has worshiped with me many times on Easter Sunday mornings when I was serving my congregations. And I remember this very fondly. One time in one of my congregations, when my mom and dad were visiting on Easter, I had scheduled this hymn to be one of the hymns during our communion distribution. As people perhaps know, it's common to have hymns being sung by the congregation while people are going to communion. And for a service like Easter, you plan on a lot of people, so you plan on quite a few hymns. And our organist had the understanding that when you finished all the people for communion, wherever we were in the hymns, we would probably stop and complete the service. It turned out that this was the last hymn that we sang, and we wound up finishing the hymn, or rather finishing the tables of communion, with about two stanzas left, including that last stanza. After the service, my dad said, "Boy, I love that hymn. Wouldn't have minded singing a couple more stanzas." And he was really referring to stanza 7, the last stanza. "He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. Who there my cross has shared, finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died, shall here be glorified." As my dad was getting closer and closer, as he is now, to reaching that portal himself, going to heaven, this hymn had become more and more precious to him. And I think as each one of us takes a day and another day and another day closer to being with Christ in heaven, wherever that might be, what Gerhard has offered to us here, I think, perhaps becomes even more precious.
Dr. Carl Fekincher is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It is always a pleasure. You had quite a job cut out for you today, getting through seven stanzas. Thank you so much for
being
our guest.
Great hymn. Great to get to do it. Thank you.
Well, in just about 23 hours, we're going to start Issues Etc. 24. What is it? It is 24 hours of continuous live broadcast of Issues Etc. It starts tomorrow, Wednesday, the 14th of April at 4 p.m. Central Time, and it's going to run continuously for 24 hours, live Issues Etc. Bible studies in two-hour blocks, going in-depth to each one of those books of the Bible we're studying with our very best guests for 24 hours all the way until 4 o'clock Central Time on Thursday, April the 15th. We're calling it Issues Etc. 24. Kind of speaks for itself. If you'd like to find out more, and we certainly encourage you to do so, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, just click support, and you will find there on that page our YouTube video about Issues Etc. 24. We invite you to listen, tell your friends to listen to Issues Etc. 24. Someone who's never listened to Issues Etc. will get a really good a taste of what we do here every day on Issues Etc. by listening to Issues Etc. 24 in just 23 hours from now. We're going to be up all night and all through the morning and for 24 hours bringing you, our listeners, the very best Bible study on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. 24. Our hearts have to wake up when we hear this message. We may be slumbering in doubt and unbelief or sadness or being weighed down by the cares of this world, or worried that some of these things may even separate us from Christ and his love for us. None of that is true. The hymns like this and the Bible passages from which they are drawn awake our hearts, not startled awake, but wake us with the good news of Christ's death for us, a death by which he destroyed death even for us, and his resurrection from the dead wherein his Father accepted the sacrifice made for our sins at the cross, and it is to awake to great gladness, even as he shall awake us on the last day from our graves by the same death and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.